things that require patience. Training a chicken to do arithmetic. Getting to talk to an actual human when calling a cable company or health insurance provider. Finishing a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. Raising children. Waiting for the first Fruitful podcast of 2019. And the fruit that is the topic of this episode. Hello and welcome to Fruitful, the podcast about fruit. I'm your host, the Berry Buddha, the Mayor of Mango, the Prince of Persimmon, Zach Huddleston, and I'm thrilled to be here with you. There's been a large gap since the last episode of Fruitful. I was traveling for the holidays. There was some laziness and procrastination, and then I also got busy with wonderful new developments in both my personal and professional life. No big deal. Much like a ripe Hachaya persimmon, the Fruitful podcast is worth the wait. Yeah! Also known as astringent persimmons, Hachaya, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Hachaya persimmons are acorn-shaped and in season October through February in North America. There's another common type of persimmon called Fuyu, F-U-Y-U. Fuyu persimmons, they're usually smaller and flatter and firmer. On this episode, we will not be eating Fuyus, though I probably will in a future episode, because you know why? Frankly, Fuyus are the easy persimmon. Yeah, Fuyus require no patience. You can eat those suckers right off the tree or out of the store or whatever. And as we start a new year and set goals and resolutions for ourselves, it's important to be reminded that often the best things in life are worth the wait. Speaking of patience, my mom and one of the most patient humans on earth, Mary Huddleston, is the guest on this episode. Her second appearance on Fruitful, but the first time was over the phone, if you recall, from the Q&A episode. So this will be the first time we've recorded in person with real fruit to eat. She just retired after almost 39 years with the VA Hospital Administration and is about to move to a new city. All of that, and she's trying her first persimmon. What a time to be my mom. The persimmons we're eating in this episode were bought in Florida while I was home there for the holidays, but were actually grown at Brant Farms in Reedley, California, in the world-famous San Joaquin River Valley. We'll cover this in multiple ways, but what makes the Hachaya persimmon the not-easy persimmon? Well, it has to be eaten very, very ripe. And then, you know, when I say very, very, I don't just mean like, oh, there's some brown speckled spots on your banana. You know what I mean? Or, oh, that peach is nice and soft and juicy. No, the Hachaya is literally inedible if it's not super soft. In fact, it will literally kind of like gag you and you will want to spit it out and rinse your mouth out with water if it's not totally ripe. Hence the astringent persimmon code name there. I can be an impatient fruit eater and am thus all too familiar with the astringency of a not ripened Hachaya persimmon. Oh, dark days. Some picking tips on the Hachaya. You want it to be as dark orange as possible. That actually goes for all persimmons. In fact, sometimes you can even see what are called sugar cracks. Those little kind of black squiggly lines, maybe around the base or around the stem of the Hachaya. That shows that they're sweeter. And those actually come after the first frost of the year. And that is usually after the first frost is when persimmons are better. And thus, they're often better later in the season, January, February. When they're ripe, the leafy stem part should pop right off and should be super soft to the touch, the entire flesh, like a water balloon, if you will. Some tricks to get them to that super ripe stage, if you buy them a little firm, you can freeze them and then thaw them out later. You can submerge them in rice or put them in a paper bag with some bananas to increase their ethylene exposure and kind of hold that ethylene close to them. Or you can just stick them on a shelf and be patient. Though, good luck with that if you're anything like me. Okay, let's get to the interview with my mom where we're eating persimmons. I'll be back afterwards to give you some more persimmon pronouncements. That's a mouthful. But until then, sit back, relax, and enjoy this Hachaya Persimmon flavored episode of Fruitful. So you were just telling me you've never had a persimmon before?
Yeah, I've never had a persimmon before. This will be a first.
Either of the two kinds of persimmon?
Oh, these are two different?
No, these are both the same kind, but there are two different kinds of persimmon.
Oh, well, I don't think I've had any persimmon.
Okay, just persimmon full stop.
Yeah, no. I think I'm, yeah.
And just from visual, what do you think?
They look like orange elongated tomatoes.
Yeah, or like a really, like, yeah, whereas like a big beefsteak might be kind of flat, these are kind of more oval.
Yeah, and the greenery around the stem is like a hosta, if you know what a hosta plant is.
No, what is a hosta?
Oh, it's a garden plant.
Oh, okay.
They're very common.
Well, apparently not common enough for me. It ain't no rosebush.
It's all that apartment living.
Yeah. And now I had, before we started recording, I had talked to you about, there's two kinds of persimmons, the fuyu or fuya, something like that. And then these, we have the hachaya. I'm going to mispronounce everything. And these are the kind that you have to eat super soft. And I've had some recent experiences. I've had them in the past. And they're delicious. But I've had some recent experiences where I tried to eat some that weren't all the way fully super soft. And it's literally inedible because it has that like very bitter, like pull all the saliva out of your mouth kind of a flavor.
Well, you're really building this up.
Well, but when they're ripe, they're incredible.
Wonderful. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna risk life and limb here. Which one of these do you think is this one's the softer one? Mm-hmm. So we're gonna, you don't eat the greenery on the top. Okay, well, it's looking good. And now you can't eat the skin.
Can?
You can, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, the flesh is the real juicy part. Here, before you risk anything. Okay, we have liftoff. These are good. I cut it in half, so you can have your half. I've got mine.
It looks sort of like a peach.
Yeah, and like a very ripe peach, ripe, similar consistency.
Very orange.
Yeah.
Little apricot-y.
Yeah.
A bit like an apricot.
But sweeter, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you think of the consistency?
It's good. I mean, how do you normally eat it? Like this? Like by itself, or you?
I mean, this is the only way I've ever eaten it, but I'm a fruit purist, as you know.
Yeah, well, apparently I'm not much of a fruitist at all because I've never had a persimmon, so there you go.
Well, but now we bought this in Florida. We bought this at a supermarket in Jacksonville, Florida. But I don't recall ever seeing persimmons in grocery stores growing up. I think the first time I ever saw them was in Los Angeles. Maybe I wasn't looking, but...
Or I might have thought they were orange tomatoes. I don't know.
Or tomato oranges.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you're going back for more. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's like one thing that sets them apart. There's like a pudding-ish kind of a very rich softness, but that is kind of devoid of juice as opposed to a peach. Well, this, it doesn't really like, you know, you bite into a juicy peach and it's like lots of liquid. Mm-hmm. And it's like the liquid and the solid of the peach kind of separate easily. Whereas this, I feel like it's more of an emulsion kind of a.
So the ones that you got that were inedible, were they soft and squishy like this?
Well, I thought they were. And the full story, and this is just fascinating content. But like, I bought two of these persimmons thinking, because the hard part too is like. Again, I'll watch out the labels right there. They have to be super soft to be edible, but you don't usually want to buy them super soft at the grocery store because they might, you know, burst or it's hard to get them home or whatever. So I bought a couple that were a little north of soft, put them in my pantry, figure I'll check in on them in a couple days. A couple days go by, they're not any softer. A couple more days, literally 2 weeks go by. I'm like, well, it's got to be. It hadn't gotten very soft, but it's got to be ready. I bite into it. Bitter, terrible. I have to spit it out. I give the other one another week. Bite into it. Still not ready. So I don't know if that just means the ones I got were never going to ripen, if I was doing something wrong by keeping them in a pantry. These, when I got these, they were not like mushy, but they were pretty soft. And then we've had them for probably 2 or 3 days now, and they've softened up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we also drove them from Jacksonville to Clearwater. So maybe that, the mileage really helped them.
Yeah. An insulated bag with whiskey bread pudding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to just, and I was thinking too, while we're chatting, we're recording this around the holidays, and my other big fruit adventure of the last week or so was I cooked a pumpkin pie from scratch for Christmas. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on that?
It was very good. I started thinking all the times I've made pumpkin pies, I've just opened the can. Libby's, you know, and actually usually follow the Libby's recipe too. But no, it was very good.
Do you think it was a noticeable difference from the canned kind?
Maybe, yeah.
But subtle. It didn't taste like, right. Oh, this is a totally different dessert.
No. I was just really proud of you, son, for making a pumpkin pie.
Why were you proud?
Because I didn't have to do it.
That's different than pride. That's relief.
Okay. I was really relieved that you made it. And it was from scratch, and it was an effort I've never made. So yeah. There you go.
Well, it was the first pie I've ever made, too. Though, as my grandmother was quick to point out, I didn't technically make it from scratch because I didn't make the crust. Right. Next time.
Pillsbury made the crust.
Yes. Next time, to get full grandmother credit, I'll probably need to make the filling and the crust. But
you really should interview your grandmother sometime on a fruitful episode.
I mean, these episodes are usually under an hour. So. I don't know if she's ever had a conversation under an hour. Usually I have to get some words in too.
There you go. Oh, and also the oranges off your sister's tree.
Yeah, and I'll probably mention that, but Amy had pitched me a whole episode idea. She's got this little orange tree in her front yard that's full of oranges, but none of them ripened in time. They're all kind of just like
a few
days out.
It's like a 5-foot tall tree with like 20
Yeah, it's like a little, like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree, but with a bushel of oranges on it. But all of them were a little too green for us to taste test. So that'll have to wait till next year. Mm-hmm. Do you have any specific holiday fruit memories?
Well, you know, there were years that we used to send fruit to people, you know, like a box of citrus.
Like a Harry and David kind of situation?
Well, we did that too, but, you know, like the oranges from Florida, and some of those were super sweet. And that was my first experience with the little tool that cuts through the outside of the orange. It usually comes when you buy the box of oranges. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's just like a tiny little blade that's only deep enough to
Yeah, and it fits on your finger, and you go through the outside of the skin. And it's really cool. I went out and bought another one after I broke one. But I'm like you. I don't eat a lot of oranges anymore.
Why don't you eat a lot of oranges?
I don't know. It's just not my preference.
Yeah. Your preference is berries.
Yeah, I'm a berry person.
What kind of berries are you eating lately?
Blueberries and blackberries. A few raspberries.
Yeah. Do you base that decision on like what's available, what's on sale, what you're
feeling
like? Deals.
Yeah. Yeah. The strawberry festival is coming up in February.
Where do they hold that?
Plant City.
Oh. February.
I think it's February, yeah.
Wow. Maybe they have like, it's kind of the start of the season or something like that.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Are you going to go to that?
Probably not.
No. There ain't shit in Plant City, is there? Except for a strawberry festival.
And strawberry shortcake. They have a lot of big name country music.
Oh, okay.
Acts that come over.
Yeah, and you're a big country music fan?
Not really. There's a lot of reasons why I probably won't go. I mean, it's not that I dislike it. It's just, you know.
Yeah, not worth standing outdoors for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, final verdict on the Hechaya persimmon.
You know, it was good. It was like the consistency sort of a soft tomato, really. you know, yeah. And it's
if a tomato were more fruit-like, kind of.
Yeah, and less, you know, this doesn't have the guts that a tomato has with the seeds and everything.
The liquidy part, yeah.
But, you know, it's sort of like a very ripe tomato consistency.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting too. At some point, we'll eat some of the other kind of persimmon because those like eat like an apple, and it's like a firm flesh. They're not as sweet, but they're kind of nice. Like, have you ever? Sometimes maybe it's an LA thing, but every once in a while you'll see that type of persimmon will show up as like an ingredient in salads. They'll slice them thin and kind of, or like, you know, in a crudo or something like that, because they just add just a little bit of crunch and just they're actually probably. They're like drier than an apple. They're almost like a non-ripe pear, but that's how they're meant to taste. But anyways, they're fun.
If I've had them, I didn't know it.
Yeah. I love these. Again, they're a little bit of a pain to time the ripeness just right and to transport them. And they're not always available. I think they're a winter fruit, which is why they're available now. But I don't know. To me, they're kind of decadent, these are. You know, they're richer than your average.
Was this expensive?
I mean, not as expensive as you would have expected. Certainly not like dragon fruit or some real bougie fruit or something like that. I think these were like $2 for $3.
Oh, which that's not bad. It's probably kind of like a mango.
Yeah, or in the realm of a Honeycrisp apple or any kind of good fruit that you might get. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a treat. It's a treat.
Yes, well, thank you for sharing with me.
Thank you for having some. Thank you for agreeing to be on a second episode of
I probably would, well... It's pretty sure thing I wouldn't have gone to the grocery store, bought one, and known to wait till it was so soft it felt like it was rotting.
Well, if you hadn't, you would have never bought another persimmon because you'd have been like, this is what they're supposed to taste like? Gross.
No, I would have thought, I'll wait till my son comes to town. He'll introduce me to new and different fruits.
There's a lot of things I can't provide for you, Mom. But fruit information is one that I can.
Well, I appreciate that, son.
All right. Love you, Mom.
Love you, too. All right. Bye.
Bye.
And I'm back. Thanks so much to my mother, Mary Huddleston, for being on the podcast. And a happy retirement and a wonderful, freer life for you now, Mom. I hope your days are filled with yoga classes and walking your dog and eating delicious fruit. My mom mentioned that the leafy stem area of the persimmon reminded her of a hosta, H-O-S-T-A. Those are a shade-tolerant foliage plant named after Croatian botanist Nicholas Thomas Hoste, who was also the personal physician of Holy Roman Emperor Francis II. Yeah, so he was a botanist and a physician. That means he was either amazingly talented in two separate fields of science, or Pope Francis II had bad taste in personal physicians. Who's to say? We mentioned the Florida Strawberry Festival, and that will be held this year, February 28th to March 10th in Plant City, Florida. This year's festival will, of course, feature fresh strawberries, strawberry jams, and strawberry shortcake. You would expect all of those. But it'll also have strawberry burgers. Yeah, actually two kinds of strawberry burgers. One kind, it's made with a strawberry jam incorporated into the beef patty. Okay, yeah, that's not too different from ketchup maybe. But then there's another kind that's made, the burgers are made with crumpled strawberry cookies and French toast buns, which sounds good. Also at the Florida Strawberry Festival, they serve deep-fried strawberry bursts, which is a fresh berry injected with cream cheese, then deep-fried and dusted with powdered sugar. Okay, now that actually sounds very good. No question mark. The entertainment at this year's festival will include Martina McBride, the Oak Ridge Boys, and Willie Nelson. No Beatles cover band to do Strawberry Fields Forever? Florida Strawberry Fest? Okay, well, missed opportunity, but maybe Willie Nelson will throw it into his set. In doing my research on the Hachaya persimmon, I came across some great information and videos about the Dojo Hachaya persimmon, which, like a lot of other fruits, is a super fancy, super expensive version of the fruit that they only make in Japan. Ugh! those Japanese people and their fetishism for exquisite, hyper expensive fruits. Oh, I gotta make a pilgrimage. There are these persimmons that are all like hand harvested, handled by hand, seemingly by 100-year-old Japanese people only. They have a 1,000-year history. Like they've always been presented to the emperor every year after the harvest. They are meticulously harvested, hand-peeled, sun-dried, and at a point in their drying, they're hand-brushed, which if you've ever come across a dried persimmon, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, they're kind of a niche thing. They often have like a white powdery coating on the outside that looks like the like a powdered donut or possibly like fungus, but it's neither of those things. It's neither powdered sugar nor fungus. It's the natural sugar of the persimmon that only comes out if they're hand brushed to kind of break those cells and pull it out. Interesting. I'll have to seek out a Dojo Hachiya persimmon. I might need to start a special savings account to afford one though. The more mass-produced varieties of dried persimmons are available and are still very delicious. They kind of also usually have that white powdery look to them. I've seen some of those in Korean and Japanese markets in Los Angeles. You can probably find them in an Asian market near you. And they're great. And it's a nice, risk-free way to venture into persimmon land. You don't got to worry about those bad boys being hyper-ripe and or astringent. Once they're dried, all Hachiya persimmons are delicious. A final prologue to the story of my journey with Hachiya persimmon. If you recall, I told my mom a story about sitting on a couple Hachiyas for a few weeks, waiting for them to soften and ripen. And I kind of bit into one too early, even though it had been weeks and weeks, and it made my mouth feel all kinds of bad feels. And I spit it out and I was very disappointed. Well, while I was in Florida for a few weeks to see my mother over the holidays, I came back. And I discovered I'd actually left a Hachiya persimmon sitting in my pantry. It had been there for literally over 40 days, which if you did that with an apple, a banana, an orange, you would come back to a gross pile of goo and probably a lot of flies in your home. But not so with the Hachiya persimmon. It was soft, didn't look too bad. And so out of the interest of science and discovery and research, I ate it. Yes, after I let a piece of fruit sit in an unrefrigerated cabinet for over 40 days, I ate it and it was delicious. Yes, perfectly ripe, juicy, delightful. Okay, now would I recommend that as a course of action? Probably not, but wow, what an incredible fruit. Literally, you can forget about it for a month and a half and come back and it's better than ever. Whew. What an incredible fruit to begin our 2019 with. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast and for your support of this fruit eating weirdo on his personal journey through the produce aisle of life. I wish upon you many delicious blessings in 2019, listener, and I hope you have a fruitful year. Bye.